Let's get our Bibles out and open up to Ezekiel chapter 18. Oh, yes, beg your pardon. Thank you, Kim, Sunday school. You can go outside if you wish, Kim, if it's you prefer. So let's open to Ezekiel chapter 18. The title of this talk is Confidence. And there was a bit in Diana's testimony about how the Lord gave her confidence. So Ezekiel chapter 18. I'll get there. There we go. Ezekiel chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 21. Ezekiel 18 and verse 21. It says here, "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal, or it's not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent, and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live." So this concept goes into a fair bit of detail here, but the Lord has amnesia. He looks at what we're doing now and what we're doing in the future. I mean, it clearly says if someone who is used the word in the scripture, wicked, and then today they turn their from those ways and follow righteousness for the rest of their future, the Lord takes hold of that. Contrariwise, a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and follows wickedness for the rest of his life, then the Lord will judge according to that. So in our situation, praise the Lord, he forgets. Praise the Lord for that, that he looks at what we're up to now. And, of course, in the future until the Lord comes back. And it says twice there that he has no pleasure in him that dieth. He has no pleasure at all in seeing a person fall from grace or seeing someone miss out on salvation. And twice he also says, why do people say that the way of the Lord is not fair? Why is it unfair? You know, and the Lord says, well, no, my way is fair. Your way, people's way, judging according to the flesh or what they think's right, that's unfair. But the Lord's way is fair. And so I'm talking about confidence here is that when we're being placed in a position of righteousness, you know, yes, the Lord called us, but we still had a mindset and had a choice to turn his ways and leave our past behind. And we also continue to have a choice to learn what the Lord wants we get up in the morning and choose continually, okay, I'm going to continue to follow this path of righteousness, because the Lord has no pleasure in seeing his people fall by the wayside. And so if he has no pleasure in that, then we can come to the conclusion that he has great joy in seeing us continue walking on in righteousness. He has great joy. And so, again, talking about confidence and how he wants us to be confident in his judgment, in his ways, because it says there, the way of the Lord is equal. The way of the Lord is fair. Now, if it's fair, that should give us some confidence in itself. So we'll go to Proverbs 28. Just one verse, as often is the case when we read Proverbs. Verse 1. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. It says here, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Okay, someone who's up to mischief, doing the wrong thing, you know, they're constantly looking over their shoulder, they're unstable, they run when no one is pursuing them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion when they stand before the judgment of God. The righteous have an understanding that I'm glad I'm doing things that the Lord wants me to do. And that gives us confidence, boldness, as a lion. Right, yep, I'm confident in the Lord. I'm trying the best. I know that his judgment is right and fair. I know that. I've got the guidance in the scriptures. So if we want to understand the guidance in the scriptures, we've got to read the scriptures. So reading the scriptures and understanding the guidance in this, we then are a people who are as bold as a lion. Ah, I'm tying the advice in the scriptures in my walk and how I'm following God's ways. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it's a good place to be in. God knows that he wants his people to be in a position of confidence. It's like a kind of a peace that's with it, with our position before the living God. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 46. It says here, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it, prolong your days in the promised land. But here, set your hearts unto all the words, because it's not a vain thing. It's not worthless. It has a benefit, a true benefit for our life. There's a flow-on effect when we set our hearts to the words which he testifies us. There is a positive result. And it says there that the great positive result is when we enter the promised land. Our days will be prolonged in the spiritual promised land. Back to chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11. So Deuteronomy 30 and verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Looking for a holy man that can go to heaven. Verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So this commandment, it's not hidden, and we know that, but it's near us. Okay? Again, confidence. So we're confident in the Lord that he has shown us or given us his commandments that are near us. You know, we sang that chorus, not on a mountain or in a valley, but on our knees. You know, I met my Saviour or received the Holy Spirit. So near us, it's not something where we've got to go and travel around, but the Lord has gone to the effort to bring his words, his commandments close to us. Okay? So we can be confident. What I'm saying is we're confident in the Lord to show us, to bring him near. We don't need to be confused and thinking, oh, maybe I need to go over there or over there to find what his commandments are. He has brought them close to us in their entirety. And he's put before us this choice, life and death, blessing and cursing. And he's in verse 19, he's pleading with us. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. You know, that thou mayest live and that and cleave unto him. Length of days, you know, length of days, there's confidence in that a future, that the Lord gives us a future. Back to chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 8. A couple of single verses coming up here, but we'll start with Deuteronomy 27 and verse 8. It says, "And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." So not only has he brought the word and his commandments close to us, within reach, he's also made it plain so we can understand. He's also put the Spirit in us, which has ultimately brought his commandments so close, they dwell within us, but it's plain for us to understand. And so when we talk about the gospel to others, we present it plainly. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, one verse, verse 8. So Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. It says here, "So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, plainly, clearly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading." So the Lord's asked us to read it with clarity, read his commandments with clarity, but also giving the sense. You know, often we just ask people to read the scriptures in context. It's so easy to throw scriptures around out of context, but the Lord wants us to understand context. You know, he's brought that close to us. And through context, distinctly, we have confidence in that, and then that understanding. And so coming together, talking about the word, talking about the miracles, you know, that the Lord does, he performs in our lives, he sees us as individuals and cares for us, you know, that builds up our confidence that this almighty God is making his plan clear to us and in context. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Sure, you're already there. There we go. So verse 11 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." So there's another little side aspect there that I think a lot of us miss when we read the account, is that Joshua was Moses' right-hand man right from the start. And he was with Moses even in the temple. But here, Moses is speaking to God face to face. Okay, face to face, having a chat. Now, we are in that position now. We are in the position filled with the Spirit. We can pray in tongues. We can seek the Lord. We are in a position where we can see God face to face. Now, Moses, I don't know if he knew when he entered the temple he was going to sit there face to face, having a bit of a chin wag with God, you know, how's it going, a bit of a cuppa or whatever. I don't know if he knew that in advance or whether he went into the temple and realised, wow, I'm actually sitting here face to face with God. But the second time he goes in, what confidence. Yeah, I'm going to have a chat with God. I'm going to get down, have a chin wag, see where he's going. So face, you get with more and more you do it, you get confident with presenting yourself before God. And Joshua, well, he just stayed there. He just stayed in the presence of God, talking face to face. That is phenomenal confidence. Now, in the New Testament perspective, we can kind of get an idea because we're filled with the Spirit, we speak in tongues, Jesus is a sacrifice and so forth. But in the Old Testament context, it was so unique. Over to chapter 34. So Exodus 34, this was a consequence of Moses spending time talking with God face to face. Exodus 34 and verse 29 says, "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." Right? The people whom God had chosen were afraid. Were afraid to come near Moses. And then the consequence, the flow on from that, near God. Sad. Right? God didn't want this. He didn't want a people to be afraid to come to him. I mean, the title of this talk is confidence. He wants a people to be confident to come. And even like Moses wasn't God himself, but because his face shone, you know, people were afraid to come close to someone who was close to God. You know, it was a sad situation and it was not God's plan. Verse 31. "And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them." So Moses actually had to say, "Hey, wait a minute, come here, I've got things to share, don't be afraid." "And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off. He had that confidence until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." Okay? There was a barrier. People put a barrier between themselves and God because they were afraid to come near. If they were not afraid to come near, there wouldn't have been a barrier. They would have been comfortable with Moses and the way he presented himself in all purity as a result of talking with God, but people put a barrier between themselves and God. That was not the way God wanted it to be. God wanted people to approach him in confidence. So link to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and we'll start in verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use plainness of speech or distinction of speech. You know, it's just boldness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it, or person and their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, and there's no fear in freedom. And hence the confidence to approach the Lord and behold him face to face in a figurative sense. Verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? We can have that close relationship with the Lord, just like Moses did in the temple. And we do it without fear. Because if we do it without fear, we're putting that barrier back in there. We are a people of freedom. We are of liberty. And so, therefore, we're confident to approach him and dwell with him. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Yep. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles, once upon a time we were far from God, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You know, so the Gentiles were called uncircumcision by those that were circumcised, and it's all of the flesh. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, today, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, that nearness again, by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, you know, both is those that were far from God and those that are close to God. You know, the Lord's made them one, close to God, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. You know, that's that reference to the Gentiles and the Israelites. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens. So a citizen of a country comes under the laws of the land, and they are confident in those laws when they're practiced. And so we now are fellow citizens in the land, the spiritual land of God, under the laws or commandments of the living God, together in one. We were once far off, didn't know. We may have known a little bit about God here and there, but we really didn't. Compare how much you know about the kingdom of God today and how much you knew back then. That was tiny. We were once afar off. There was a barrier between us and God. But now that's all broken down and we are fellow citizens of the household of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I've said before, we knew Christ once upon a time, according to the flesh, just distantly, an account of what he did, maybe historical records of what he did, what he said, but now it's deeper. Deeper now. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have Christ dwelling in us. We know him on a very personal level. We can we have him with us always. A friend, a dear friend, even a brother. You know, he is the first begotten of many. He's our brother. We're all children of the living God. And that, as well as confidence, but also verse 19, this reconciliation says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, has committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. That deleting of our trespasses. It's no longer an account that he sees. It's no longer a record that he keeps. He's deleted it. We are clean. We are washed, sanctified, special to the living God. That should give us confidence. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. You know, we follow a different path, but we have confidence in following that path. You know, we've got a track record now, you know, the years that we've been walking on, and we continue following a path that he's asked us to walk. But also, verse 14, this aspect of not being children tossed to and fro, you know, with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men or trickery of men. You know, because we have confidence in the word of God, the commandments of the living God, we have confidence in that we don't need to be afraid of all these other ideas, all these being convinced of other things, because we can have a clarity of mindset saying, no, that's not of God. I have a confidence in this. God wants us to be confident in his commandments, be confident in him as well, that he's true to his word, that his promises are yea and amen. They are yes and full stop. There's not yes, oh, but in this case, you know, maybe not. It's yes and full stop. We can be confident in him always and not be afraid of other bits and pieces that may pull us away. We can wake up in the morning and say, praise the Lord, another day. Another day where I can follow the Lord in all confidence, because he has proven himself in a wonderful way. Penultimate scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He, Jesus Christ, can look at us with compassion. With compassion and say, I understand. That's what it says there in verse 15. With the feeling of our infirmities. Verse 16, let us therefore, as a result of this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we heard in testimony, you know, in the time of need, he is there if we approach the throne of grace. Finish up chapter 13 and verse 5. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation or your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's promised, not a hair on our head will be touched. If he promised that if we called out to him, we'd receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, that happened. He also promised that not a hair on our head will be touched. Then we can have confidence in that scripture based on experience. That if our conduct is without covetousness and we're content with what we've got, as we heard in testimony, we learn to wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength, gains confidence that he will deliver, and we can say that he is my helper. What can man do? What can man do? They can try, but they can't get us because we're here. We're holding fast our profession, which the Lord has employed us in. Okay.